We know that God created the world. And before God created the world, so God created the blueprint called the Torah. Histakel b'oraisa, God looked in the Torah, v'ar alma, and based on the blueprint of the Torah, God created the world. When God created the world, so God spoke to Adam, right? And God spoke to Noah, and God spoke to Avram, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. And that was one kind of prophecy. In order for a person to attain prophecy, a person has to perfect their traits. They have to be kind, they have to be gentle, they have to have full control. There's a whole order of trait after trait that a person has to perfect. And when they've finished perfecting their traits, then God might talk to them. Then they're ready for God's talking to them, and then God might. Either they'll merit or not. They're prepared. They're quality material for prophecy. Who? So that's a good question. How come we find God talking to people who seem to be pretty miserable people? That's a good question. That maybe we'll save for the question answers. For now, we're doing the general concept. It's a good question. Needs to be dealt with. Maybe later. Paro was also spoken to by God, right? Abimelech was also spoken to. Laban. So you have miserable people being spoken to by God. Bilam, right? God spoke to Bilam. How does that work? Okay. Fair question. It's been asked. It's been answered. We'll get there. So when God gave prophecy up to Moshe Rabbeinu, every prophet got their own private prophecy. God told them what he wanted of them. Comes along Moshe and God tells him, go tell the Jewish people. Moshe says, wait. Why should they believe me? They'll say, if God wanted to tell us, let him tell us himself. Well, this new concept that you speak to me and I tell them, God said so. Why should they accept that? So God gives Moshe a bunch of signs and God says, but the ultimate sign is that you see this burning bush, this prophecy of a cactus called the sneh, and the fire all around it. Here on this mountaintop where you're witnessing this prophecy, you'll come here and serve me, and I will appear, and I will really talk to all of the Jewish people, and they'll see that you're telling the truth, and then they'll know that everything you said is true. So Moshe goes and takes the Jewish people out of Egypt, and then they come to Sinai on Shavuos, right? Coming up, we're counting up, tonight is, what? How many days of the Omer? No, last night was 21? Okay. And there, they all see prophecy. God speaks to everyone. And when they see that, so then they know that Moshe has been telling the truth. That's why Moshe Rabbeinu's prophecy is stronger than any other prophet's prophecy. Because Moshe Rabbeinu, it's as though we are all testifying to the truth of his testimony. It says in Vayeshanon, it says in the Torah that God says, the whole nation heard prophecy. Now, if that was a fib, then the nation would jump up and say, take that out of the Torah. That didn't happen. But no, it says, we all witnessed the revelation at Sinai that God spoke to all of us. And that's why we say, like Maimonides says, if anyone's going to come and contradict Moshe, we say, fine, you replicate Sinai. Have 2 million people see prophecy and then we'll talk. You tell us that one person, you spoke to God, okay, fine. The Torah tells us people are going to come and challenge the Torah. Prophets will come and do miracles. In the middle of broad daylight, they'll make it night. Right? In the middle of the day, bam, it's night. God says, and then they say, now God told me I have a new Torah. What does the Torah tell us to do? Execute them. Don't ask them too many questions. Kill them. Ah, they did a miracle. We say, fine. But the Torah said, God said, there's no more. I've given you everything I have to give, God says. There's no more Torah up in heaven. This is what I have to say. This is the way I want you to live your life. And Zot HaTorah, this is the Torah, Lotei Muchlefet. It ain't changing, God says. But God says, I will send you more prophets. I will send other prophets, and they will have things to tell you on my behalf. In our history, we had over 1 million prophets. Most of those prophecies were relevant to that person, to that generation. The prophet was like a person's personal rabbi. People would come to the prophet and he'd tell them how they should lead their life and how they should move forward in their life. And he was like their personal coach, their personal advisor. There were many, many prophets. There were many prophecies. Just yeah, but that was a passing prophecy. They didn't remain as prophets. And then God sent prophets and he gave them prophecies to be written, to be recorded, with an eternal message. And those are the 24 books that we have written. We have the prophecies that were given for generations. The prophecies that were given for generations were recorded. The prophecies that were just for the moment or that generation were not. They passed. Yeah? When we read the stories in Yeshua, Shoftim, Shmuel, Melachim, we have to know that those stories have an eternal message. Yeshua was written by Yeshua, Shoftim and Shmuel were written by the Navi Shmuel. Yeah? Melachim was written by Yirmiyo. The book of Mishlei is one of the books that Shlomo HaMelech wrote, right? Shlomo HaMelech wrote Mishlei, Shir HaShirim, and Koheles, right? Yeah. It's unclear at what stage in his life he wrote all three. And the message is eternal. Now, all of Shlomo HaMelech's works appear in Ksuvim. What's the difference between Nevim and Ksuvim? Nevim are prophets. Ksuvim are the writings of the prophets. So, Nevim were written with prophecy, and Ksuvim were written with a different level of prophecy. But they're all written with prophecy, and they're all part of the Kisvei HaKodesh, the holy works of Tanakh.
Would that make Daniel a prophet?
So that's a long answer to that. You're asking based on the Gemara and Megillah, right? So if you wanna discuss that, the question answer, we'll get to that. Write that down. It's a good question. We could get to that. Okay. Okay. Any questions still here? Now, the books of Iyov, Mishlei, and Tehillim have their own tune. It's called Tamei Emet. It doesn't go in line with the tune of the rest of Tanakh. Last semester, the guys asked me in the middle of the semester to read each pasuk with a tune and then explain it. You guys want to continue that way? Or how many people want it? Okay, sorry, Cheskel, you're outvoted. We'll try it, and if you guys change your mind, tell me, because I don't care.